Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Reflecting on the Gospel today, let's pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in your word. Your word to us is always the truth. Amen. Dear Christian friends, I'm not sure what it's like in your home, but in mine there is known to be a touch of humour, maybe some would say a bit of sarcasm, if we come home and find that the dinner table is set with the best tablecloth, matching crockery and cutlery, nice glasses, etc. And the comment comes, who's coming to dinner? It's assumed that the finery is not for the regular members of the household, but for the visitors. And the person organising the meal is often busy with those last minute special touches and really can't be disturbed or distracted all that much, or you do so at your peril. You might get a job. After all, meals and the time afterwards have got to go just right. Hospitality is a good thing. We should make an effort. However, it also can be a pitfall that we find ourselves providing various levels of hospitality depending on the importance of our visitor. It can easily be that we offer levels of hospitality, sadly, as a type of investment in an anticipation of some sort of payback. We might get a good reputation out of it. We might get a favour. A contact may be made at work for future use and so on. What sort of host would you be if Jesus was to come to your home for a meal? We can understand Martha quite easily. She is familiar to us. She is busy organising a nice evening for a friend, a man she knew to be close to God. He's a prophet of some kind. He's a man who has power from God. He's a teacher, and his teachings about God both thrill people and challenge people. Like him or not, Jesus is known, he's talked about, and he's coming to her house. She's tried to pay attention to what Jesus is saying, what he's talking about. But of course, hostess, she's busy. She's got other things to attend to. I suppose she didn't want to go down in history as the person who served up Jesus a lousy meal. And the whole evening would have been fine, gone off without a hitch, if two people had played their part. If Mary would help with all the organising of the meal, then that would be a big help. And if Jesus would leave all his interesting conversation until, say, after the meal, when the washing up was done and everyone was sitting around, or in this case, lying sort of on couches, eating after dinner figs, then Jesus could talk. Martha's comment is a shot, not just at Mary, but at Jesus. For them both to acknowledge her. And Jesus' comment is a gentle one to the frazzled hostess. He won't buy into the line that Mary must help Martha, nor will he accept responsibility for Martha's frustrations. His comment to Martha says a number of things. Firstly, Martha, you don't have to impress me. Martha, your frustrations are your own making because of your own expectations. Don't blame me and don't blame Mary for them. Martha, you chose to listen to my words with one ear at the oven. If Mary chooses to listen to me, I will not turn her away. Jesus was not telling Martha that she shouldn't have gone to any trouble about the meal. I assume the meal was delicious and I assume that Jesus greatly appreciated both the effort and the delicious evening. But God's word is also important. It is like a meal, and it is needed as much as food. The Apostle John reminds us that Jesus is the Word made flesh, who pitches a tent among us and shares his supplies with us. He is the one thing needed, and he will not be taken away from anyone. That's what Jesus' cross testifies. His death brings new life to everyone, to the hosts and the hostesses of the world, and also to those who aren't, and to all those hangers-on in some way around the table. No one is excluded from this new life that Jesus achieves through his suffering and his death, which he offers in himself, particularly as he comes to people through bread and wine, where there he is both host and meal. And yet people so often want to be noticed. We can easily suffer the Martha syndrome. Surely it has to count for something in God's eyes if I live a good and decent life and I'm not a ratbag and a lawbreaker. If I'm a person who comes to church, I mean, God, surely you should notice that. It's got to count for something, surely. Why isn't God impressed with my faithfulness? Such thoughts, such questions can lead to certain expectations of God in particular and certain perceptions about the people we might see around us. We might become focused on, say, being busy, being involved in all the organisations and the organisational parts of life, being involved in work, at church, even at home, so busy doing things, important things, that we might not have time to even read God's word, not have time for a prayer, be so busy that it's much easier to pigeonhole people into certain categories and then treat them accordingly without getting to know them personally. Worship might become, well, just a menu option for Sunday. And we lose the one thing needful, God's grace in Christ. His words to remind us that our life is not about impressing him. It's about living in the freedom of his love. Mary's attitude is the one we should follow. That doesn't get you out of the dishes. It doesn't get you out of the housework or any other responsibilities you may have. Mary teaches us a simple and yet very profound lesson. When Jesus speaks, listen. When explaining the third commandment in the Large Catechism to an audience that could have spent a lifetime visiting sacred shrines and venerating holy relics, Martin Luther wrote, "For God's word is the holiest of all holy things. In fact, it's the only one we Christians know and have. Even if we had all the bones of all the saints, or all sacred consecrated vestments piled up in front of us, it wouldn't help us one scrap. They are all dead things and can't make anyone holy. But God's word is the treasure which makes everything holy. Through it, all the saints themselves were made holy. Whenever we deal with God's word, preach it, hear it, read it, or think it over, we ourselves, the day and the action, are made holy by it, not because of the fine thing we have done on the surface, but because of the word which turns us all into saints. So I always say that our whole life and actions have to be based on God's word if they are to be pleasing to God or holy. In whatever environment, particularly regular worship, but also each day, the truth remains the same. When Jesus speaks, listen. Listen to his message of love. Discover it daily in every situation of life, that God is already there for you. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.